Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's a debate as old as time.
It's not Taco Bell, but I'm going on a run. I'm getting tacos. What do I sign you up for?
A debate that can tear apart friends and family.
Chicken first, beef.
That's funny.
Oh,
go ahead.
Why is that? Why
keep
is that
going.
Okay.
Yes.
A debate that may never come to a conclusion.
This is your version of Google.
I said what tacos do you like the best?
No, at the same place.
You're going to the same place.
We should find
you guys are going nuts, right? Because you won't answer the question. What flavors do you like the best from the same place?
It's the Great Taco Debate. For 6 and 12-pack Wine Club members only, comes our first of three exclusive ACS t-shirts designed by Carolla on Paper. The definitive taco ranking t-shirt features chicken, pork, and steak tacos. So you and your friends, even strangers, can have the debate on your own. So head to CarollaDrinks.com today to sign up for your shipment. And remember, chicken is always last. Time for a smooth groove on the Toolbox, the home of the 70s at 7. On tonight's broadcast, your chance to win lunch for two at TGI Fridays. Our name may be Fridays, but we serve the same crap every day. So take your protein pills and put your helmet on as we board the Jefferson Starship. Destination, pure bliss. Set the dial for comfort. You've found light rock, less talk on the Toolbox. Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Tia Carrere. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, the Rotten Tomatoes game, and we tip off the first round of Banks Bracket Madness. And now, for St. Patrick's Day, he found a pair of green socks for Phil to eat. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. That's what we have for our advertising budget. You guys give this free show to someone you like. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Come on, guy. You don't need to do that.
Tia Carrere in studio. We love Tia.
Hello. Nice to be back with you.
She's getting lubricated on a little mangria right now. So.
Flying me with your alcohol. Alcohol. I had to spike it, though, I have to say. I'm not a sweet drink person, so I added a half a bottle of vodka, and now it's better.
God, I love her.
She made the mangria stronger.
That's how it was invented.
Exactly. It's a mixer.
Tia, you know, it's funny. I'm looking down here. Everyone knows Wayne's World, but True Lies, man.
Fantastic movie.
What a fantastic movie. You like Tom Arnold. That's how good that movie was. You liked Tom Arnold.
The funniest, best stuff he ever did was that movie.
That movie,
it was amazing.
The mixture of comedy and action and it just
intrigue.
So incredible. You playing the heavy, awesome.
And also, that tango.
Oh, the tango. God, it was such a fun movie. Now, a movie that most people don't bring up, but that I watch all the time, Harley Davidson and the Marlboro
what?
Man.
Because, you watch
because
that all
it's,
the time?
It's an insane movie. And for people, let me just say this. There's a whole group of dudes. This is sort of the 42 to 55-year-old white dude realm. The guys who like to watch Roadhouse over and over again and Point Break. And we're watching it in a semi-ironic way, but we're also quietly enjoying it. It's a Tool tune of a movie.
I have to see that. I mean, like, I don't think I've ever seen the whole movie.
For those of us who cherish those kinds of movies like Cobra and stuff, like Stallone's got a bunch of those kind of movies like that, this movie is not on anyone's menu. It should be because it is insanely
rarely comes up.
If that's what you like, the sort of 90s ironic, like two big action guys, insane scenes all the time. The premise is
Tom Sizemore. Fine.
It's like it's Burbank.
The apex.
The year's 2001. Like there's, it's, I don't even know what the movie's. It's unclear what the movie's about. But either way,
eye drops that make you see the world in a better
way. Oh, there's always some synthetic drug that's purple that's getting all over town.
Purple eye drops. That's what it was.
Also, Airwolf. I didn't even know you were on Airwolf.
Airwolf, yeah. And he just passed away, didn't he?
I know. Jan Michael Vincent.
Jan Michael Vincent. He was beautiful.
Did you do a guest arc or something?
Okay,
or?
So I was a guest star and I had just started out, innocent little thing from Hawaii, and I play his girlfriend, Kiki Tanabe. And I'm supposed to, Kiki. Yes, Kiki, that's me. So I go and give him a peck on the cheek, and he turns and he goes, gives me the tongue. I thought I was going to die, like from you know, alcohol and
secondhand
cigars.
Smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
A little cocaine
oh
freeze.
Oh my gosh, I was so shocked. I didn't know what to do. I was like a deer in headlights.
So
hashtag me too.
Jan Michael Vincent was like,
wow.
We're looking at a picture. He was like Brad Pitt before Brad Pitt. In the looks department.
Yeah. And a bad angle on him. He was better looking.
I'm guessing he would attempt to make out with every co-star, right?
Male or female. I don't know.
And they
would have acquiesced because he was that good looking.
So if it said in the script, a kiss or a peck on the cheek, you think they just go for it?
He did, and he had a good laugh.
Is that a common theme where, like, a guy says, I mean, it's kind of like that Al Franken backstage thing where it's like, hey, we have to rehearse this kiss, you know? And the guy goes, well, it's always a beautiful, you know, it's always someone that's a couple years younger and a lot better looking than you, and someone is going, we need to rehearse this.
Right, specifically.
It's kind of a little open window to try something. Do you notice
that theme? Shenanigans. Well, I, not recently. It's been more, you know, respectful. But in the beginning, definitely, you know.
Well, you came here at what age?
17.
So you're like
17 from Honolulu, Hawaii, a little pebble in the middle of the ocean. So what did I know of such
So you stuff? You come here and I mean it must be an avalanche of whatever all the horror stories you hear in the Me Too and stuff. I don't mean that anyone accomplished it, but I'm saying there must have been every producer and every whoever attempting
everything. I got mad
everything.
Offers. I got offers to get me an apartment and a car and a monthly stipend if I would just let him come visit me. I'm like
anybody. You mean like casting directors and everyone.
Titans of business, real estate moguls, who knows? You know, it's like, they see you coming in and your eyes are, you know, wide, you know, and you don't know who the bad guys are and you want to believe in the best in people. And, you know, my sister moved here years later and it just really, she couldn't stand it. She's like, how can you deal with this? And I said, I have a, you know, bad long-term memory, you know. Well, I forget stuff. I just forget it to save myself.
Go ahead.
Don't you think in that way your innocence almost protects you because you don't know what you don't know, so you wouldn't take anyone up on that?
But it also gets you into stupid situations where you're in a locked room with someone and you're going, I didn't notice that door buzzed behind me when I walked in.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh my God, now I'm on the wrong side of the locked door. How do I get out?
And Matt Lauer's like, let me just.
No, it was not Matt Lauer.
Couple.
Do you have a story you'd like to share with us, Adam?
I wish. Oh. God.
You wish you and Matt Lauer. Wow. There's a visual I'll never unsee.
This is breaking news.
No, I don't. I've never really been too pushy that way. But I got to tell you, I haven't thought about
it. Have you been pushed, though?
It's a little bit of a two-way street. I got to say, like, when you're on MTV for an hour a night every night, and you go to Havasu for a man show bit, and there's a couple of chicks
Spring
floating
break.
Around.
And they say, I'll do whatever you want if I can meet Dr. Drew.
Ah, but I'm bumped.
Yeah, I've run into
Ouch.
A couple of pushy gals out there. It happens.
Looking for their future ex-husband.
Does this look like chlamydia or chlamydia?
Oh, no. Who's going to pay for my baby I'm currently carrying?
But it. So, and I never judge. And the reason I never judge.
Yes, you do.
Well, I have to judge.
Yeah,
I mean,
judge
okay.
Constantly.
No, what I'm saying is this. when I was, and I think it's all about the base. I don't know where, what your family, what the base of, you need a super strong base of a family, because if you took me at 17 or 18, my family was a mess. Everyone was all over the place. I didn't have any kind of religious upbringing. I didn't have any pride. I didn't have a base. It wasn't like, oh, I can't disgrace the good name of the Corollas by besmirching. Like, whatever. Yeah. And if somebody came around, you know, some 40-year-old chick and said, I'll lease you a Corvette and I'll put you in an apartment, I'd be like, yes, yes, absolutely. I'm 100% down with this plan. We'll do whatever. We'll do whatever. If someone gave me a manila envelope and said, I need you to bring this back from Mexico, like, and they go, I'll give you $6,000. I'd be like, I'm down. Yeah. I'm in.
Can't do.
I'm in. I mean, because it's this weird thing where it's like,
it's
why
confusing.
Would you do that? Well, you don't have any base.
Right. Yeah. But I guess, so then, you know what? Catholic school did serve me well.
You had a base.
I went to Catholic school for 13 years. My family was also a mess. Hmm. So at least I had half of that equation, and that kept me straight, I guess. I mean, I literally said to the guy, I said, thank you so much for your generous offer. I really appreciate that you would offer it to someone like me, because you're above me. And I'm like, how the fuck do I get out? Oh, sorry. And how do I get out of this room without, you know, getting, you know, attacked? And it was, maybe I'm starry-eyed and naive, but I believe hard work and perseverance are going to get me where I want to go.
Family.
Quote, unquote.
Mm. So Catholic school.
Sister Mary Ignatius saved me.
Base. What, family a mess? What was the mess part of the family?
Oh, gosh. My family might listen to this. They're going to get mad at me again.
Well, you know, my take is.
Well, if they're already mad, then what's the problem?
My take with the family is, look, I'm just reporting what you did. Yeah. If you didn't want it to happen, then you shouldn't have done it.
You should have behaved
better.
You know
what I mean? I'm essentially a court stenographer here. And you guys are
I never thought about
trial.
It that
like,
way.
I mean, look, as long as you're not making things up, then it's on them.
Just read back the transcript. Read the record.
You tell me if you think this is fair. My family doesn't. But
tell
I'm
me
like,
about your family,
look,
Adam.
If you're going to be horrible and you're going to ignore your kids and you're going to focus on yourselves and you're going to cast everyone to the wind and not pay for college and not pay for lunch and not pay for dinner and not do any of that.
Are you kidding me?
That's my son. There's a better than not chance that your kids will either OD by 25 or just get some crappy job on a construction site
or
picking up garbage for the rest.
Or make bad choices in Hollywood.
Or all the above. But there's a small chance they may get a microphone. And then it's going to bite you in the ass. Yeah. But you spun that wound.
You never know.
That was, look, there's a roulette wheel.
The womb wheel.
All of it said, don't pay for anything ever.
But there was double zero.
And no hugs. And then the double zero with a thin microphone in it. And it's like, I'll give it a wheel.
Yeah, what are the chances?
What are the chances? No college, no vacations, no meals, no hugs, no eye contact. This will be easy.
Come on.
But it landed
Daddy
on.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes for himself.
It landed on the sliver with the microphone and the book deals and everything else. And you got burned.
Yeah,
I'd still spin that wheel today. Like it's a high percentage spin.
So we'll just explain. And so we both won. And here we are in front of microphones.
But your family lost, is what I'm saying.
We're all good now. But yeah, they did move to another country and left me behind.
Well, listen, you know, they do that move where they go.
I literally almost spat water out of my mouth.
I want to know what happened.
I'm not kidding.
I want to know what happened.
They moved to another country. I lived with my grandma, and my mom and my dad and my two sisters moved to another country. So well, that was back when there was no internet. There was no, you know, 59 cents a minute phone calls.
Oh my God.
It was $5 a minute to call another country on the phone. So there's minimal contact, and me and my grandma lived in Hawaii.
Hey, Mom and Dad, we're in Wayne's World. See you later. Bye.
I want to know. I want to know
damaged.
How all
so
this
much
went
damage.
Down. I want to know. Right, first, I want to tell everyone this half of the show brought to you by Butcher Box at butcherbox.com and TrueCar.com. Scott's Turf Builder and Castrol Edge. So the phone thing was an insane thing. Like, first off, I'm a little older than Tia, but I remember. Like, there's a lot of like people going, can I use your phone? It's like, well, local, like, where are you calling? You're not calling Westwood,
what's
are you?
Code?
Like, if you're calling Westwood, no.
Yeah.
Well, like, we live in the 818.
Yeah, Gina and I grew up in the era where it was like when we were younger. Yeah, it was like the same situation. Then it eventually became, you know, the cell phone, unlimited minutes, all that stuff. So we, you know, experienced both. It was crazy.
Yeah,
we had starved for it.
If you knew
what's the rate to so and so? What's the rate to
Europe? Also, you just want want to call someone in the Bay Area from L.A.
Good luck.
It was insanely expensive, and you'd have to do a move where it's like, all right, we're at minute 7, so let's hang up, and then you need to call me back.
Yep. So try calling another country. How long are you going to be on the phone with your kid?
Right, and everyone's poor. And they do this thing where they left me behind with nothing but my bicycle and $5, but leaving the daughter behind with nothing but smoking hot good looks is not too shabby.
13-year-old, 14-year-old daughter in another country far, far away.
Why would they do that? What were they doing?
Well, my dad got a job in Samoa, far, far away. And so the family moved with them. I was in middle school and they wanted me to get back into the high school. And the schools were, you know, subpar. So I stayed behind.
The Samoa schools.
Yeah. They were worried that I wouldn't get back into the Catholic school back in Hawaii.
So it wasn't even your choice. It was their choice. You weren't like, I'm staying no matter what. They said
I was
staying.
I was like, everybody should stay. I have a really bad feeling about this.
Oh, my God.
Cut to years later, my dad and mom, my mom and my sisters came back. My dad stayed behind with his 22-year-old secretary. So I was right. Yeah. I was right.
What jobs are there in Samoa?
Linebacker, fullback. That's it.
Or you make the cookies.
And I love my dad and my stepmom today, but it hurt when I was 14.
I'm trying to picture the Samoa job. Like, I know this is insanely racist, I guess, yes, but I'm trying to picture the industry.
He worked for Bank of Hawaii, and he moved and worked for Pacific Commercial Bank, I think it was.
In Samoa. All right.
Developing countries need banks.
All right.
They got to pay for stuff, too.
So he goes there, and how far away is Samoa from
another
Hawaii?
5 hours southwest from Hawaii. So it's between Hawaii and Australia.
Yeah. How many times?
Very far.
And, and you're with grandma.
And I'm with grandma.
It's always weird being raised by grandma.
It was weird. It was hard because she wasn't very, you know, demonstrative, not very, you know, huggy, kissy, all that kind of stuff, you know, where like with my daughter, I'm like, oh, honey, I love you. Get off of me.
Right.
Stop hugging me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But, you know, so but she did teach me fiscal responsibility. As soon as the bill from Sears came in, we were on the bus down to Ala Moana to pay for it because she didn't believe in debt. Mm-hmm. So that was a good thing to imprint on me.
Sure.
Was grandpa around?
No, she was widowed like at 48. She was a very young widow. Yeah. Yeah. So
what did she do?
Just the two broads in the house in Hawaii. She worked for Pearl Harbor for like 50, 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, like the national park kind of part?
No. She worked like Pearl Harbor. She worked there as a librarian, and she had the blueprints for the nuclear submarines and stuff like that.
Wow.
So
high clearance.
She had clearance, and she
did.
She worked hard for a long, long time.
You then started to blossom into a beautiful flower, and at some point,
nasty bees started buzzing around.
Must have figured
buzzing
out
with their
stamens. Something brought you to L.A., right?
I was discovered in a grocery store in Waikiki, and that's how I got my first movie. Like, darling, you're gorgeous. You should be in my son's movie. We're looking for the female lead. And I went in, but I read for the casting director who did Karate Kid. So it was on the up and up. And I made pretend I was a shy local Hawaiian girl that fell in love with a Caucasian Casanova. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet. You know, my brother hates him. He hates my brother, you know, kind of thing. So that's my first movie.
Were they like on vacation in Hawaii or were they there?
They were on vacation visiting their son that was going to do this movie. Their son was a director.
So did you film in Hawaii?
I filmed in Hawaii, got my Screen Actors Guild card, made some money, you know, made SAG minimum. And so then I moved to Los Angeles and I had my SAG card, had some money. I got an agent because I was a female lead on a movie that was coming out.
At 17?
At 17.
So you just, God, what's her name? I don't think of her name.
Janice Ian,
sorry. So you just graduate high school and come out? Or?
Yep, just graduated from Sacred Hearts Academy School for Girls.
And where did you end up? Like, did you have a place lined up?
No, I came here with a boyfriend that had a photographic studio and subsequently took all my money and left me homeless. But that's another story altogether. More mangria, please. Fresh in her glass, please.
Could have been a Star 80 situation there.
I know. Dangerously close.
The new show we should talk about, AJ.
Good news, yes.
And the Queen. It's coming soon to Netflix. I haven't got a hard date yet. It's created by RuPaul and
Michael Patrick King from Sex and the City.
This has great all over it.
I'm so excited. Knock on wood.
I love Sex and the City. Everyone makes fun of me. It's weird because I like musicals. Yeah. I like Sex and the City. I like you know, dune buggies.
You're
and,
in touch with your feminine side.
I just like stuff that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Well written.
It was a really well written show, and so is this one.
I think we put way too much stock in. Oh, is that a black movie? Is it a white movie? Is it a chick movie? Like, people like good.
Yeah, good and is good,
make,
clever.
If you make Get Out, a bunch of white people mm-hmm. go see it because we like an intriguing horror, whatever. Mm-hmm. We enjoy that. Sure. I think we're way too unkind to ourselves and like, nobody's going to watch blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I like Sex and, I'm from the Man Show. I like Sex and City because it was a well-written, funny show. Yeah. Like, I enjoyed the characters.
Yeah.
We're way too much into, I got to see me.
Right. Or I don't want to see that thing that's for other people.
Yeah. It's, I looked at plenty of Playboys when I was a kid. I wasn't looking for me. I wasn't like, oh, not a shot of Ace Man's hairy ass. Next issue.
Two eyebrows. Next.
Let's look for July's
no,
issue.
No, thank you. No, I'm kind of looking for the opposite of me. And I was thinking about it, Max Pat. I don't know if you did any work on this, but I was thinking of our friend Van Lathan from TMZ, who was in here the other week, and I realized the number one black movie of all time
is
Scarface.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Oh, really?
If you talk to black men,
yeah.
Scarface, number one of all time. I don't know if there was a black cast member in Scarface.
Not prominently. Yeah.
So and there Pacino. You go. It's the number one black movie of all time, and there's not a black actor in it.
There
so there you go, everybody.
The ultimate crossover.
All you need to know, make a good movie.
Make a good story.
Make a good story.
And this is a good story, so people will come see it.
It's how many episodes you guys did?
We did 10. I just finished on Thursday. Just finished. So I came straight to you, hot off the presses.
By the way, look no further than the NBA to let you know that everybody wants to see excellence all the time.
Rap music's pretty popular.
Yeah, whatever. I don't mind. I like the part that we all do this. I don't like the part where we decide that we don't or saying like we need something for these people or these people won't do that. We do it. There's a million examples every day. Yeah.
Well, crazy
everyone
rich Asians
supporting each other.
Crazy
right.
rich Asians. It's not an Asian movie. It's a Cinderella story.
Right.
But modern.
That's right. Yeah. Is that a good movie?
It was really good.
I heard it was good.
I saw it like 3 times.
Oh, really?
I don't know anyone who just...
3 times, fool!
I don't know anyone who just saw that movie once. Because I wanted to bring my daughter to see it.
It's really fun. It's well done. And
it's really well done. Clever, like the texting thing.
Yeah.
All these little devices that he used were just terrific.
And just a good story.
Yeah.
All right, we have so you can look out for AJ and the Queen
later this year
coming to Netflix. We have Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh no,
I'm excited. I'll tell you first about ButcherBox. Delivers healthy 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. And they have a new protein, wild Alaskan sockeye salmon, sustainably harvested from Bristol Bay, Alaska. The color is very orange. Lets you know it's fresh and not factory farmed. All the products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. The taste is unbelievable. I got to tell you, Olga, my nanny, whipped up some of this sockeye salmon two nights ago. She made like a teriyaki glazed salmon on one side, and she made a pesto type on the other. And I did both of them. And she's like, I did the teriyaki for the kids. And I'm like, screw them. I own those bitches. Those are my kids. And I'm eating both.
Yeah, you should.
I ate both because I'm a hero. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S. except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel easily anytime. They got a special offer. Subscribers get $20 off and 2 pounds of free ground beef for life.
Ooh.
ButcherBox.com. Enter the code Adam at checkout. This stuff is good. All right, should we play the Rotten Tomatoes game with Tia?
Yes.
The Rotten Tomatoes game is presented by TrueCar.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the game makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Now it's time to play.
In honor of today's guest...
Hold on, Max Bata. Sorry, breaking the stride. But you got Phil sleeping by the wet saw. It just cracked me up. It's so goddamn loud. And the stupid dog, it just lays right next to whoever's doing... No, sorry, it's before this. You can. It's the different angle. Sorry. All right, we'll play the game and then we'll get to it later.
Is he deaf?
He acts deaf, but if Olga calls his name and he knows there's food there, he gets up and trots.
Okay. Is that construction at your house? Is that what's going on?
I'm doing always. Construction always and all the time. But he'll go and lay down wherever you're working. I'll go slide through the door here. Sorry. Now you see when I slide the door open.
Looks like a great place.
How goddamn loud it is outside. He's 4 feet away from where these guys are operating a wet saw.
Oh my god. I'm worried about Phil.
He's
now just staring at me.
He's on a broom.
He's laying on a broom.
He's determined not to be comfortable.
Yes, and if you go forward a little, you'll see that he just lays back down and goes to bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, most dogs, again, you fire up a dustbuster, and they go running to the other side of the apartment. Phil, he's down.
Oh, are we partying here?
Yeah, this is... This is his thing. They're operating a diamond blade and a wet saw.
Makes me long for the days.
But maybe
to...
it's the excitement of the saw. The same way when you race cars, the excitement and the adrenaline.
The difference is
adrenaline rush.
But Adam would be excited.
He's asleep now. He's now gone to sleep. Turn it up, Max Beth.
Oh my gosh. There's something wrong with your dog.
I'm worried.
I think he just has a low resting pulse. All right. We're good. Anyway,
he
you can
is
go to
AdamCarl.com
and look at it.
He's literally your spirit animal.
Yes, low my spirit animal. Pulse. This is I'm going to sleep while stuff's going on.
Makes
that's
me just,
that's not even like white noise. It's an abrasive,
aggressive.
Harsh, aggressive sound.
He's 4 feet away. Just took a nap. And he walked there, too. It wasn't like he was there.
Gosh.
They snuck up behind him. It's a weird dog.
Yeah, remember when you were installing like the sliding doors and Phil was just sleeping right there, too, like in front of everybody? Like,
he figures out wherever you're working, and then he takes a nap to wherever you're working. All right, here we go. Sorry.
Since the beautiful Tia Carrere is here, our game today is going to be themed off of films featuring Tia's co-stars.
Oh, boy.
Over the years.
I don't know anything about anything with film trivia. I just happen to be in this business. I just want to say that. That's my disclaimer.
No matter what happens.
Well, exactly. You were in a little series of films that people may have heard of called Wayne's World, adapted from a beloved sketch on SNL. Years later, Wayne himself would star in another adaptation of a well-known source material from the mind of a doctor. 2003's... The Cat in the Hat.
Interesting.
Theodore Gessel, Dr. Seuss.
That's right.
What else?
You do know things.
What else worked on, what other sketches? I know Night at the Roxbury was a huge
hit.
I will argue that MacGruber
Coneheads.
Worked.
Coneheads.
Well, MacGruber wasn't a hit, but MacGruber worked.
Yes, I love MacGruber.
Yes.
Coneheads was a garbage movie.
Coneheads.
Blues Brothers is the ultimate example.
Oh, Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers.
Right. All right, so Cat in the Hat, what do we think? I mean, it's a kid's movie. It was well done, right?
What was the Rotten Tomatoes on this? Is that
yes,
the question?
Yeah, yes.
We have to write it down.
Yes,
we have to write it down.
It's tough. Sometimes they're tough on these beloved things.
It should be easy. It's Mike Myers. It's a story everybody knows, but who knows?
Yes.
Yeah. People that are voting on Rotten Tomatoes are not the 8-year-olds that it's aimed towards.
Yes, the movie credits,
so there's
of course,
that.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Brian, what do you say?
This is an outrageously bad movie.
Oh, is it?
I've been tortured by a few scenes here and there. I've never seen the whole thing. It's grotesque. Like, it's like a live action, like, Dr. Seuss world. It's
right.
Weird. I said 22.
Oh.
Wow.
Mean.
Yeah.
I thought you were so nice.
I am nice.
No, he's not nice.
Mean.
No. What about you, Tia?
I said 87%.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, because I watched it a couple times with my daughter. And I know how much she liked it.
I'm going to split the difference. I said 44.
I kind of sort of split it. I said 66. I just thought, Dr. Seuss, how can you go wrong?
The Cat in the Hat is rotten at 9.
Oh! Tia, it's been great having you.
Jesus.
That's a good start.
I told you. I gave you the disclaimer and everything.
I went way too high at 22.
Wow.
Poor thing.
It was, you thought it was Doug Flutie, and it was Jim...
McMahon.
Yeah. We're doing football.
I forgot about that.
Football jersey number. Sorry. Right. Go ahead.
Completely lost on me.
Tia Carrere was in a film which featured an attempted building-to-building horse jump.
Yeah.
True Lies.
This next film features no animal stunts, but does have Kaylin's dad.
Glorious.
And one of Dylan's favorite nude scenes of all time, where a beautiful,
with
muscular,
Kaylin's dad?
Thick, naked Arnold is on display. 1984's
Terminator?
The Terminator.
Oh.
The first one.
The Michael Biehn vehicle, The Terminator.
Yeah. So, all right. The
Did they have tomatoes back then?
Well, they had critics, and then they had tomatoes later, but
reviews.
They just took the reviews and aggregated them. All right. Well, we know the critics liked it, but did they love it? What's not to love?
Very violent.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, look, we're all going to we're all going high here, but we got to get right on to make up some ground with Brian. You get a 5-point deduction to get right on.
Keep in mind, Schwarzenegger was not short. He was a bodybuilder who was in schlocky action movies at this point. I think it.
Should we keep that in mind, Brian?
Yes.
Is that a spoiler alert? You're trying to. You never know if he's messing with us.
Just throw out information. What you do with it is up to you.
Oof. Trying to think.
I can't think of a football player with this number.
Then you can't do
it.
Bothering me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to redo my number to fit a football player.
Okay, Brian, what do you got?
I think Reggie White was 92.
Yeah, he was.
So I'm going to go, if anything, I'm going to be low, 92.
Whoa.
It's a Tia? Great movie.
I'm using the same number because I'm scared because it doesn't make any sense to me. 87% again. I really have no way to rate this.
It was so insanely effective the first time around. How could it possibly let you down this time?
It's somewhere in the middle. I know that everybody loves this, and I don't even know if you call it a cult classic. It's just a classic.
It's a great
movie.
It is.
But
sure.
I got a little shy because I don't know how seriously people took it. I said 81.
What number is Simeon Rice?
He was like 96, 97?
I'm trying to get.
Damn.
I had 97 written down. I can't think of anyone else in the NFL.
Simeon Rice.
Yep, 97.
Damn.
Good try.
For that, you get 5-point deduction.
I pulled out Simeon Rice. I'm not even a Tampa Bay guy. All right.
97.
How was I such a bad student?
I was going to say.
All right, here we go.
How many?
The Terminator is certified fresh.
Yeah.
With a score that would never appear on a jersey. 100.
Shut your lying face. That's incredible. There is justice in this world. That is insane. So Toy Story and Terminator?
Just because.
I was thinking of going 100 just because I should have just to go
for
broke.
I should have.
Are you guys shocked at this?
No,
it's awesome.
It's a great movie.
That's
Holy
awesome.
Gina, have you seen this?
I watch it every time it's on. I mean, I don't remember it like that. My God.
It's ever so slightly dated because it's 1984 and it's high tech,
but it's awesome.
It's
amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
See, so they do vote properly sometimes. I was just hedging my bets because people are idiots.
One of Tia's first films was Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Yeah, it was.
Adam's favorite film.
What is the slug line? How is that movie described? Like futuristic L.A. 1996 or something? The plot is weird. There's a Burbank Airport bar that's going to be torn down.
Oh, no. Like saving the community.
High stakes.
It's weird because it takes place at the Burbank Airport, which is an insane. I should have done John Wayne, maybe Long Beach.
I have no recollection of this or any other such event.
Read the description of it.
Okay, the description is: forced by the imminent foreclosure of their friend's bar, two lifelong buddies will decide to rob a bank's armored car, not knowing that its cargo is not money, but a new street drug.
Eye drops.
We have the slug line here. When the going gets tough, the tough take the law into their own hands.
Yeah. Clever.
Guys, it's too generic. What can we do?
Was there a year that this was supposed to take place? Are you near future? Just find the trailer. It's comical. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
All right.
Ooh.
Well, of course, Mickey Rourke, youngish Mickey Rourke, played Harley Davidson. A decade prior, he starred alongside William Hurt, Ted Danson, and Kathleen Turner.
Body Heat.
In a lesser-known noir, directed by the famous scribe of the Star Wars and Indiana Jones franchises, Lawrence Kasdan.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. I just saw it the other night.
1981's Body Heat.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a great movie.
Young Kathleen Turner, ooh la la. Mickey Rourke had like one scene, right? Wasn't he like a cameo?
No, a couple scenes. Yeah, okay. A couple scenes.
All right. So.
They go back and then they look at and aggregate previous scores. See, I would give this one 100.
Is this Chris Collinsworth? Or
now I know where you're going.
Is this Warren Sapp?
You memorize people's jersey numbers?
Well, you see enough of them.
You have some free time.
Yeah.
Wow. That's sad.
I'm going to put this one at, let's see. Stanford, currently in the league, and Carolina, running back.
Oh, McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, but his dad was Ed McCaffrey.
That's right.
And his dad played for Denver, and he was a wideout. Mm-hmm. I think I know his number. Go ahead, Paul Bryan.
I'm going to go the all-time great Jerry Rice at 80.
Mm. Jerry Rice. He's so nice. Mm.
Tia?
I said 92.
92. Gina?
Yeah, I've never seen this movie. I know it's referenced.
It's awesome.
I'm surprised how much it's referenced. I said 90.
I'm going Ed McCaffrey.
87?
I think it was 87.
I think you're right.
With Denver? Sorry. Whatever Ed McCaffrey's number was.
You're like Rain Man with those jersey numbers.
Bald Brian chose the wrong Rice. Body Heat is fresh at Simeon Rice. 97.
Wow. 97.
Wow. We're back in,
Tia. I got 5 points or whatever it is.
Oh, did you say 97?
I said 92.
Wow. Oh, okay. So 5 points, I thought you got a deduction. Right? Yeah.
You got the audience score for minus 10.
Okay. Adam, yeah, so McCaffrey was 87. We also have the trailer for Harley Davidson,
and
it's the description says it takes place in the near future.
The near future.
Yeah, I did get that right.
All right, let's play the trailer. Right. Let's play the trailer because it's gonna be good.
Bike porn.
Harley. Marlboro.
Oh.
Never play cowboys.
Cools out, boys.
In a room full of Indians.
It's better be dead and cool than alive and uncool.
Native Americans.
Never go into a bar.
I can't watch this.
Unless you're willing to get smashed.
You've done pretty good after there.
Never ride a Brahma bull.
Strap on your seatbelt. Get ready to fly.
When you can take a bus.
That look like the work of two bed hoods?
Yeah. Pros would have used my keys. Never rob a bank.
Get back what's mine and kill these men, okay?
Run by bigger crooks than you.
Hey, man, that's what friendship's all about.
Never resist an arresting officer.
Oh, my God.
Hot chicks.
We got to talk to the man upstairs.
You stay on my tail.
Yeah.
Stay on my tail.
When you want man on top. Never dive from the 20th floor.
We're going to jump. I hate you for this, Harley.
I hate you, Harley!
Unless the pool is full.
You guys are a piece of work.
Shoot him!
Mickey Rourke. Don Johnson. Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Wow.
I can't believe you shot me.
Wow.
A lot of rules. And you watch that all the time.
Over and over again. It's either that or talk to my kids.
How old are they now?
I don't know. I don't talk to them.
No,
you better talk to their nanny.
Yeah.
You want to know.
Hold on. When did Wayne's World come out? They're 12.
All right. Here we go.
Tia Carrere starred alongside two former ACS guests, Alexander Nevsky and Casper Van Dien, in Showdown in Manila. Casper is known for his role in the cult classic Star Troopers, but also acted next to Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci in this Tim Burton film about Christopher Walken having no head and a thirst for equestrianism. 1999's
Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh. That was a long way around.
God, I have no idea.
He was
here.
In that movie? How did you know that?
What year was this? Give me the year again.
1999.
Heads will roll.
I remember this. God.
Who did you say who directed it? Tim Burton. Oh, okay.
All right. Tim Burton always does a good job.
Like Mars Attacks?
Yeah. I kind of like Mars Attacks.
A lot of that was filmed in Kansas, so we all saw it. Kansas?
I didn't hear anything bad. Kansas, right? I didn't hear anything good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Marilyn Olsen.
Right down
Olsen.
The middle.
But I don't know.
I'm trying to pick a number right now. I don't know.
Could be a Jim Burt. Burke? Or was it Burt? Jim Burt.
I feel like this is collusion since I don't know what numbers these are. They must study a book.
I think he's going for interior lineman.
Jim Burt 64.
Yeah. So I got it between Merlin and Jim Burt. You know Jim Burt?
I don't think I know Jim Burt.
I'm thinking the number of shoes that Sarah Jessica Parker had on Sex and the
City. Yes, you guys go your own route.
Hey, there we go.
That you know, because closet? Jim Burt was the nose tackle for the Giants, who was a big puffed up white guy. He was always like running out front, like, come on, everybody, let's go, like the overachiever guy.
He's also on the Niners, Brian, from 89-91.
Oh, come on now.
The glory years.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All right, let's see.
Everybody picks up the...
I'll go in between. I'll go Dexter Manley.
Jesus.
There are guys at home that know what they're talking about right now. That does not sound like
I don't
a real
know interior linemen that well, so I'm just going to go 61. Mm-hmm. Barely fresh.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What was your number, Adam?
Dexter Manley, 72. Oh.
He was 72.
Okay.
He was also 92. But
yeah, but
whoa.
I haven't.
Whoa.
I the Chiefs. I mean, sorry, Redskins. You see why I did that.
Understandable. Similar colors.
I'm going to go with, I'm going with Dexter Manley with Redskins. Sorry, go ahead.
And I went with 69 just because it's a good number. Yeah. It's a great number. I went 55.
Sleepy Hollow is very Richie Incognito at 68.
Oh! Wow! Yay!
Nice.
Yay!
This is overrated. That's actually a really bad movie.
Oh,
hence
man.
The incognito. Here we go. In 2002, Tia starred as Nani in a heartfelt animated film about a young girl named Lilo befriending a rambunctious alien named Stitch.
Lilo, do you want social services to take you away?
Lilo and Stitch still very popular at the Disney store. There's a lot of Lilo and Stitch merch.
But no Nani.
The great Ving Rhames was also in this film and was in an arguably worse film movie in 2010. The title?
Back in the day.
Piranha 3D.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh,
we may be getting into place kickers here.
Wasn't this like... Am I wrong, or was this at some point called Piranha 3 Double D? Like, they really...
That was a sequel.
That would have been a good marketing move.
Okay.
You're right, because somebody had a screening to this, because I was friends with a film, with a critic, and I saw this in the theater. This movie.
And then the boobs jump out at you in
3D? They really do. It is glorious.
All right.
Oh, my God. I forgot about this movie.
It could be Garo Eupremium. Here.
What on earth?
I mean, we might. You feel me, right, Tia?
I have no idea what you're talking about half the time. I need a book. I need this book so that I can memorize the numbers you guys have in your head.
So,
oy vey.
Are we thinking? I mean, again, we could be Daryl LaMonica.
Any Grammatica,
but we could be a Garo Eupremium.
It doesn't sound real at all.
Do you dare go Sebastian Janikowski?
Do you dare?
What is it?
He's 11.
Oh, Seabass. Oh yeah, no. I'm at Garo. I don't have any chance of winning this anyway. I'm going Garo Eupremium.
I'm going Steve Young.
What?
Number 8.
Oh. All right, Tia?
I say 3% because it's 3D.
Mm-hmm. I think I just have fond memories of actually seeing this in the theater. I went high. I said 10.
Yeah, high.
Piranha 3D is certified fresh.
No, it's not.
No.
Oh, come on.
What is happening?
I'm trying to find number 73.
What?
What?
What? Somebody's pulling our leg.
No, come on.
Those tomato people are just making a joke right now.
Wait. What's happening here?
73 was my number at the Sun Valley Falcons. I don't know if I made that.
There we go.
It's on my
Minus
Wiki
five for
page.
Adam.
That's right. 73? No, I should have been kinder.
What's Carol, your premium?
He's one.
I know. Yeah. What one. You say?
Wow, you're off by 72.
Look at Garrow.
Look at Garrow.
Garrow, you premium.
There's He's a substitute
oh
teacher.
That's a professional athlete, ladies.
Wow. I'm impressed that you knew his number was one.
He looks like Wallace Shawn.
There's a great.
He looks like Clint Howard.
I know. The greatest,
like
inconceivable.
In the annals of, like, kickers not being athletes.
You said annal.
When they played in Super Bowl whatever, when they played the Redskins and he got his kick blocked and he didn't know what to do. Now also,
it's a great moment.
Not only that, but he was like a soccer player from like Hungary or something. So it's like at some point all he did was kick the ball, but at some point the ball got back to him and he didn't know what to do with it.
There was a busted play. It was either a block or a bad snap or something.
I think it was a block. And you guys can watch it, but pause it for a second. Like, what I'm saying is I've said this a million times. The kickers really have nothing to do all practice. You know what I mean? They kick field goals, but they don't have a lot to do. Work a little emergency drill with
just
them.
Just in case.
You know what I mean?
Just learn the other part
just
of the game.
Have them kick the ball against in front of a cinder block wall. Just have the ball bounce back to them and practice and roll out with it and have some, you know, second-tier coach run after him with sort of like a pad or something, waving their arms just to simulate. Watch what Garrow does with the ball when it gets blocked by. And by the way, they're winning the game at this point, Miami, and they're gonna win. And Washington has not scored a point. And here's what happens when Garrow kicks the ball, kicks it, it gets blocked. Now watch what Garrow does. Could there be?
Like a little kid playing literally football.
No. He can't even make. He doesn't make the tackle. He could have made the tackle. Now Washington didn't score. This is the only score Washington had.
Oh my God.
He tries to throw the ball. Then he bats it in the air. Then all he has to do is tackle the guy, and they still won't score, and he can't even push him out of bounds.
This was the only touchdown given up by the Dolphins in the game. This is the famous undefeated, the only undefeated team in NFL history. Right.
He's not used to using his hands.
Oh,
right.
So even I could play better football than that.
Oh, anybody.
Run away from the ball and you did better.
Just push him out of bounds.
Just lie down.
It's the dumbest thing ever. Like, the guy's running along the sideline and does a weird fake move. Like, I'm coming back in, and he stops and then just keeps going. Like, just push him out of bounds.
The best part, if you hear, like, interviews today with, like, Larry Zonka and those guys, they still hate Garrow for that. They still hate him. They're still mad about it.
They could have been the undefeated Dolphins who shut out the Redskins in the Super Bowl.
Poor
All right,
Garrow.
Sorry. What was it?
Poor Garrow.
Wait, do we have another one?
That was five.
Oh, certified fresh.
Jesus.
Well, Brian, there'll be no winners in this game.
I was going to say, this is a Pyrrhic victory.
That's right. Sorry. Oh, God.
No one scored under 100 in this game.
That was exhausting.
Gina Grad coming in at a score of 137.
Yeah, man.
Adam Carolla. Mm. You're 146.
Ooh.
Which was just edged you slightly more down the podium.
This is not indicative of what?
Of the excellence that we normally
see. This
is our Garrow Permian moment.
It is not. And I hope you don't walk away with a bad taste in your mouth.
Did Tia Carrere make up enough ground at the end to make it onto the podium today?
No.
Her score coming in at 167 for fourth place.
That's so brutal.
There are no winners in this game.
Well, there's one winner.
Especially Bald Brian with a score of 110.
Wow. I wouldn't be proud of that if I were you.
I would not.
Don't clap.
I would not
Don't
share
clap.
That
it's
with
a
the
sad
outside
day.
World.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. Who thought up this stupid you know game? How we
do it. Presented by TrueCar.
I came in here all full of life and happiness. You just ruined my day,
so,
man.
So Piranha 3D has a higher score than the Blues Brothers?
That's outrageous.
I think that's what I'm saying. All right, let me tell you about TrueCar. 60 seconds, that's how long this spot's going to last. You know what else you can do in 60 seconds? You get an offer on your car. Just go to TrueCar, use your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details come popping right on up. Answer a few questions. Get an accurate true cash offer from your local TrueCar certified dealer. Then you can bring your car in. They'll check it out together, ask a few questions, get a few answers, no surprises. Then you leave, and you can leave with a check, or you can trade in your car for a new car or a used car. Either way, it's TrueCar. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, you check out TrueCar today. New, used, or if you just want to leave with a check and a smile, it's always TrueCar. All right, Tia. The show, AJ and the Queen, coming soon on Netflix, so put it in your queue there. You can shoot her a tweet at Tia Carrere if you like. Website, TiaCarrere.com. More info on Tia. Always a delight, my dear.
Thank you. This is fun, except for losing the game so miserably.
Well,
we all
were
lost.
All horrible.
All right. Thank you. You just did it to make me feel better.
We got Rich Banks' Bracket Madness next. I'm very excited. So many good songs. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Spend Tuesdays with Dr. Drill.
Hey, I'd like to suggest you listen to the Dr. Drew podcast. It comes out every Tuesday, and it is my chance to, I love doing it, it's my chance to really dig into people and find out what makes them tick, what's going on. It's a long form where we can get into material and topics that I just can't get into anywhere else, and it's a privilege to be able to spend that time really getting in deep. So please join me on the Dr. Drew podcast.
The Dr. Drew podcast, every Tuesday on Corolla Digital and Podcast One. And now, Sonny Corolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
Why are hashtag Democrats gearing up their jihad against Jews?
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah.
What?
That's my boy.
He has such fervent thoughts for a child.
I favorited one of Jim's or James because he did another mom.
Oh, your mom.
Your mom won.
At the brothel.
It's old school, man. I love the mom stuff. It's good. I tend to think the brothers are a little more mom being fat.
Right.
And Whitey's a little more mom being a whore. I feel like we should get together and call your mom a fat whore.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really work because there's not a lot of real chunky streetwalkers out there. And they're not going to do a ton of whoring.
It's a niche market.
Yeah. It's real niche. Yeah. So...
Oh my God.
Somebody tweeted James Woods, are you still acting or is the career washed up?
To which he replied, I wish your mom had washed up. My dog is sick now. Oh my God.
Wait a minute. He's implying that his dog had sex with the mom?
Maybe she's a dog walker.
The syphilis ridden mother. That got his dog
But did he
sick.
Say his dog had sex with
yes.
David's mom?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I wish your mom had washed up. My dog is sick now.
I didn't even stop. All I knew is this was gold, but I didn't know it was platinum. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just favored it and moved on. I didn't even do the math where his dog had actually had sex with this guy's mom.
Give the
and
devil
now
his
dog
due.
He's sick.
Oh, that is so awesome. All right. Well, get Sonny to read that one next, would you please?
Okay.
All right. We got the Banks Bracket Madness here.
I guess you want to explain the idea behind this?
Yeah.
Dawson will explain it for you once we start.
Oh.
Let the madness begin.
It's time for round one of Banks Bracket Madness. All through March, we're pitting the best of Rich Banks ballads against each other. And you, the fans, will decide which is his masterpiece. Our nomination committee listened to literally hundreds of songs, going all the way back to the old Adam Carolla morning show, and seeded 32 of Banks' best into 8 conferences. Today's first matchup is from the KLSX conference. First up, in 2006, the show went to the Playboy Mansion for the first of several Halloween parties called Blotto in the Grotto, and we teed it off with this.
As the sperm flies on a sweaty, hot October night, old man Hef has a girl clean his pipes in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his girlfriend cries. If there's one thing she don't need to do, it's end up with a handful of goo in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Hefner, don't you understand? The grotto is a filthy land. It's a steaming crockpot human fluid stew. Syphilis and leprosy, crabs and hepatitis C. You never know what you will catch when you step inside that pool. As the water swirls, a sloppy drunk girl gets on her knees, and a horny young man gets a disease in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his penis burns. He'll need Valtrex to get it right. The downstairs itch he got that night in the grotto.
In the grotto. In the grotto.
In 2007, the radio geniuses at KLSX decided the show needed to be retooled, so they added a tool. Here's a song about him.
It was many, many years ago. His life was really sad. On the road, being chased by police. Almost half his bones are broken and he didn't really care. With the crap he's done, I'm amazed he's not deceased. Because those years he was so very high, took every drug he could afford to buy, then beat up a chick who turned out to be a guy. Bonaducci high
on prescriptions.
Bonaducci
high on tranquilizers.
Bonaducci high.
Our second round features two songs from the Lackey Conference. The first is our most recent entry.
Out at the boss's home was Kaylin and his girlfriend, watching the house and walking Philly, while Ace Man was in Hawaii.
When Ace came home, he found a bra was not Lynette's on his chest of drawers. Wrapped in a towel, a 34B cup, it belonged to her. K
Canaan's girlfriend. While Ace was with Howie Mandel hanging, Caitlin was in Adam's bed and banging. While Adam was out catamaraning, Caitlin was in his bed girlfriend slamming.
Facing off against that gem is another song about a staffer doing some dirty business. This time, though, it's not in the bedroom. It's in the bathroom.
Someone's in the bathroom. Can only be one man. He's the one who's always in there, demolishing the can. Pants around his ankles, stinking up the place. Buys his TP at Costco, needs it by the case. Funnelier is on the crabber, you can hear him through the door. Don't go in after, he's in there shitting. He's in there shitting up the
AdamCarolla.com now and cast your vote to see which songs advance to the next round. More tomorrow on Banks Bracket Madness.
Outstanding.
This is the
so
best
strong
month.
God, it's all so good. And I'd tell you the one that I like, the ones I like the best, but I don't want to
sway
the vote. All right. I have an interesting New York Times article I'd like to share with you. I have a personal story about being pulled over by the heat.
What?
A little license plate issue.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
I want to tell you.
I know.
Buddy.
I know. And it couldn't have come at a worse time. I'll tell you first about Scott's Turf Builder. Easy to get the lawn of your dreams, everyone, by simply feeding your lawn a few times a year throughout the year. Feed your lawn four times a year for a thick, green, and lush lawn. Help to crowd out those pesky weeds by creating a greener, stronger, more resilient lawn. Scott's, no quibble, money-back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you will get your money back, but you shall be satisfied with Scott's Turf Builder. You do it once early spring. Is that us now? It's
indeed
early spring.
It is, yeah.
March.
Then late spring, summer, and fall for a greener, stronger lawn all year round. It is Scott's Turf Builder. You start your Scott's Turf Builder program today. This is a Scott's Yard, people. Scott's Turf Builder. Check that out. I think you get it at Home Depot and everywhere. You buy all of that stuff. All right. So I had, we did a show from Dallas Stadium, Texas Stadium, AT&T Stadium.
Well, far outside the stadium.
We rolled into that place and we were there for about, I don't know, 2 hours tops, and we turned around and rolled out of there. We had to all meet at LAX at 6 a.m., which meant I had to leave my house about 5:15 a.m. I, sadly, like I said, I go to bed at midnight, whatever it is, whatever comes the next day. It's just midnight. That's when I go to bed. So sadly, on those mornings, it's tough. also, man, is your brain not work when it's sleep deprived? Yeah. And, you know, they always kind of talk about that, you know, it's like three beers or whatever, but it is. It's three or four beers for me. Yeah. And I was, so.
Plus you've had three or four beers.
I had three or four beers. And
six beers.
Breakfast of champions. So I got up at five. I had this. I never do the move like where the people go, like, I like to give myself an hour to read the newspaper and just sort of come, you know, settle into the day. Like,
meditate.
Now I'm going to bed at midnight. I set my alarm for 5 hours. I get up. It's a 6:20 boarding time. It's 45 minutes. I get up and it's dark and freezing outside, and my commitment to jumping into the swimming pool is fine on days I can ease mm-hmm. into it, but on the clock ticking days, which is to say, there's no such thing as getting dressed, getting ready, getting your stuff together, and then jumping in the pool. Mm-hmm. You have to just jump in the pool mm-hmm. immediately. And it's like, I'm looking at the clock and it's like 5:07, and I'm like, I literally have to run outside, jump in the pool, and then get out, and yeah, then get dressed, started. And then get the hell mm-hmm. out of here. And I did, and I got the hell out of there, and because I was driving it, like, I probably hit the road, ended up being a little late. It was like 5:22, a little after 5:20, but that's okay. I was going to make it to LAX and self-park by 6:05, 6:08, whatever. It's like a 7 a.m. flight. I was making good time, and because I was on the road at 5 in the morning, mm-hmm. And because I was still kind of half asleep, I just blew right past the 110 on the 5. I didn't split off. Oh. It's normally traffic. You normally, at that point, you're normally going 7 miles an hour by Dodger Stadium.
You're very aware.
And I just blew. Yep. I was talking to Mike on the phone. Mike had left his house at like 4:30 in the morning or something. It was already at LAX at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was talking to him and I was like, look at it. And I just blew right past it. And now I had to get off on like Alvera Street and try to like work my way back mm-hmm. to find it. And I was thinking, now I'm pushing it a little bit. And the 110 had a lot of traffic on it. And I was sort of like, cutting it a little close now, and I got onto the 110, and I was trying to make up a little time in the whatever fast pass lane is. I have one of these boxes. I don't clearly understand how it works. Mm. Somehow LA City decided to use two lanes on the side of a freeway that's already insanely congested. It's basically, I guess it's five lanes. So they decide to take 40% of the lanes and designate them to people who wanted to pay money for mm-hmm. some sort of fast pass box or something that you tape to them. The dash of your mm-hmm. car, and I have one, and I don't know if I pay $30 a month. I don't know if it's still hooked up. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works. It's kind of insane that we've taken a traffic problem and made it worse by just opening up these two mm-hmm. lanes that are sort of open, but I have the box, and I started going. And it's dark outside, and Mike's already at the airport.
You're drunk.
I'm a little behind it, and all of a sudden, I just get lit up. I just see the sirens behind me and everything, and my first impulse is just, God damn, please just buzz around me, or go get the real bad guy, or go do whatever it is. And it's like, oh no, it's understood. And I'm in the far left lane, so I have to start making my way over to the right lane, and now I'm like, I think I may miss this flight. I missed my ramp on the I left at a time that left really no margin for error.
Right.
And I erred already by getting off at Alvera Street, and now I'm being pulled over. So I started getting pulled over, and I'm always like, my biggest fear is to not satisfy them fast enough, like to go too long without. So I started put my blinker on. I started moving over. And I found an open spot, but it was an open spot that had a ramp on the right side. It wasn't all freeway on the left. I just pulled over, and then the guy got on the squawk box. Mm-hmm. He's like, pull over to the next, whatever. And I'm okay. Drove again. Now I'm stopped on the ramp. Mm-hmm. So if you could picture that slice of pie.
Right.
of the ramp on one side and the freeway. Yep. I pulled over on that, and now I'm stopped on that, and the cars are going up the ramp, and the other cars are going buzzing by on the left, and now it's like, no, keep going. I couldn't think of a more dangerous activity in terms of getting into an accident, but either way, go to the next. You know, so I drove forward. Mm-hmm. I went to found some space that seemed to be open shoulder, pulled over. There's plenty of traffic. Stopped. I opened my passenger window because I realized the guy was going to be coming around that side. And now I'm like, it's like 6:09 or something. And I got to make it to LAX.
Flight boards in 11 minutes.
Yeah. And the guy pulled around and he said, I pulled you over because your license plate. You have a temp plate on there, whatever. Could we institute this simple rule in the land of the worst traffic in the world? Could we institute, could Hero Garcetti, when he's not begging us to open our arms and give a fruit basket to those felons who have been released prematurely, could he institute this, which is no pulling people over for chicken shit during peak traffic hours. Now, if someone is driving drunk or someone's dragging a bumper or somebody's robbing a bank, by all means. But the legal tint or the dealer plate on the back or the no front license plate on the front.
The wrong tag on the
whatever the laundry list of neither here nor there tickets that they give you that don't impose any danger on the populace or whatever. Could we have a little moratorium, which is during peak hours, we don't pull people over for nothing tickets because you're exacerbating the traffic problem and it's more dangerous to everyone involved. It's more dangerous to the officer. It's more dangerous to the commuter, the motorist, whatever. So
that's an off hour activity.
Yeah. Like if it's Sunday and it's 4 in the afternoon, by all means, go do that. But let's, during these sort of peak traffic hours, let's work to keep things moving along versus this. Cause of course, I have to go from the left lane all the way across. As soon as the guy hits the rollers and lights me up, everyone around kind of slows down a little. And then we all have to make our way over. And then when we're over, everyone has to slow down to do a little rubbernecking as they pass us. So, that's a crazy idea I'd like to institute.
It's novel.
This guy's pulling me over for not having a license or drunk driving or erratic driving
Some
or swerving
activity.
Or speeding or nothing. There's just I have a dealer plate. So
it's a technicality.
He pulls me over and he comes around the passenger side and he goes, I'm pulling you over for having a dealer plate. And I said, yeah. And he said, are you going to work? And I thought, and
well,
I said, no, I said, I'm going to LAX to make a flight. And he said, okay. And then he said, could I have your license? And I happen to have my boarding pass and my itinerary and everything, like sitting on the passenger seat. And he said, I think he said again, like going to work or something. I said, no, I'm trying to catch a 7 a.m. flight and I handed him the itinerary and he looked at it and I think it did something for him. And then he wanted to know if I had my weird travel in the whatever box on my dash. Oh, like, did I have my commuter box, my easy pass box or whatever it is? The part where you pay tons in taxes, but you have to pay a little bit more so you can drive on the freeway. And I said, yeah, I got the box. And he sort of looked at it and went, okay, I got the box. And then he, somewhere between the box, the boarding pass, and a license that may have had Lakers as a middle name, he sort of got the, right, this guy's not Al Capone. He saw I was up against it. And also, they're always kind of looking, I think they're always looking for
a little pushback.
They're looking for everything. But what they want, I've said all the time, they want a little meat on the bone. The fix-it ticket, it's not a score.
No.
That's a legged out, a infield single for them. What they're looking for is not having that box and being in that. That's a double or that's a stand-up double, maybe even a triple. Like, I can really get fined for riding in that lane without the box. Yeah. Once they find you have the box, once they find out you have a license, once the tabs are once everything's in order.
It's a swinging bunt.
Right. It's a swinging bunt. That's what they have. And then it's like, eh, See ya. Yeah.
He lets you go, no fix a ticket, nothing.
No, because a fix a ticket doesn't really get them any money. And to be fair to him, he was like, all right, this guy's got everything in order, and he's going to LAX, and his flight's leaving in 41 minutes.
And he tunes pianos.
Right. And he tunes pianos.
Can I have your business card?
Well, selfishly, I feel great about this. I feel relieved, because if you had to put those plates on, then would that mean for the rest of us, we all have to put our plates on now?
It's tough now, because it's like you feel like this is going to happen a lot.
Let me ask you out of the crystal brain. We're recording this on a Friday. How many days ago was it that I predicted this exact scenario would happen to you? Four or five days? It was Monday.
It's bound to happen. I mean,
Don't cheat me out of this fantastic victory.
They changed the law.
I said your dealer plate, your old school dealer plate that you have, you know, whatever, Galpin or whatever it is, that's a beacon. That is a beacon to cops saying this car is many more than 3 months old. Please pull me over. And you're like,
why is it a beacon?
Because now, starting January 1st, they have to give you the dealer temporary plates that have an actual license on them.
Right.
And now that it's March 1st, 3 months have a clip. So anything with a dealer plate with Galpin or whoever, that is, hey man, this car is very old or much older than 3 months. We're violating the law.
So maybe I need a fake.
Yeah. That might be a felony.
Yeah, so that might be a little much.
I don't care. But that was my,
that was my initial question.
Fake
like,
plate?
What do we do? We're boxed in.
I'll make
man.
Up a plate that has my license plate number on it.
Yeah. Feels needlessly elaborate. Needlessly elaborate.
Yeah. You're right. Because now that it's been 3 months. Yeah. You know, it's anything past March or whatever, middle of March or whatever it is, would have to have the paper plate or be old. So it used to be they never know how old the thing was.
Keep the car washed and nobody cares.
Yeah, I got to work out something that doesn't involve complying.
Please tell
asshole.
Me. Because that was my original question.
Make
like
up,
now we're painting
it. Make up your own vanity plate.
But again, I didn't say I had a fix all. I got nothing. But you're right. We got to figure something out. Yeah. Maybe I'll take the plate off altogether. Ooh, maybe I'll pretend like there was an accident or something.
Just mangle it a little.
He starts to take a bat to his own car.
Yeah.
That'll show him.
Yeah, it's sad, but I got to do something other than comply.
Something has to be done.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, I didn't get a fix a ticket, but now I don't want to get pulled
it's
over
beacon,
at 4
man.
In the morning on the way in. Yeah,
all right.
You're right.
Thanks, Brian.
Sorry.
What can I do? I can alter the plate maybe or something. I don't care. I'm done.
Tampering.
This city's such a pile of shit. I don't even care anymore. Somebody tweeted me. Remember we were talking about the person that sits there when the light changes or the arrow turns and they just sit there. And
that's everyone. Now.
Yeah, that's everyone.
Hesitates.
And you're six cars back. Yep. And you're like, go, go, go. Yep. And they're just sitting there for three Mississippi and you don't think you're going to make the cut. Somebody's tweeting me today. I'll let you. I'll pick out the countries, and then you tell me which one comes out of it. In either Germany, Mexico, or Uganda, they do a thing where when it's a red light, before it turns green, the red blinks for like 3 seconds. So it's like blink,
up.
Blink, blink. Yep. And it's like, wake up. We're changing now. Because we live in a land where it's red and then it's green, but people are looking down or texting or just wandering off. Their brain is wandering. But imagine if we lived in a land where that red light blinked 3 times and got you poised to move forward.
I wrote down Uganda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's because it's technologically savvy. Yeah.
Yes.
How much does it upset you that every traffic problem we have has a solution somewhere in the world?
Well, again, if we had a traffic czar, that traffic czar would travel to Stuttgart
and he
would look around. And you know all the stupid stuff we do, which is like we travel around and we look at, oh, they ride so many bicycles in Finland or something. We should bring. Just do that with the traffic and then just have that. Could you imagine if every signal just did that and we coached everyone up to that?
Wake up call.
Yeah. Easy fix. Wouldn't need a lot of hardware. Just a software little update. Yeah. Exist. Germany in, I don't know, since what did it say, 96 or something? Like,
oh, Jesus.
It's been around for a long time. Here, you read it. Sorry.
Traffic light timing lived in Germany in 1997. Their red lights flash a few seconds before turning green so you could get the clutch engaged and get ready. They take their driving seriously over there. We need this now more than ever because of cell phones.
Yeah.
Can we still call ourselves in California the beacon of all things in the future when all this stuff is so laughable?
It is. It's infuriating that we, every time Garcetti makes one of his speeches, he always talks about like leading the way and innovation and exploration. We open our arms to communities and we, blah, blah. It's all that's like, we're the tip of the spear. Okay. So be it. We have the worst goddamn traffic in the world. Could we do just a little bit of that innovation or lead the way or creation or opportunity?
By all means,
in that,
lead the way.
In the subject, in the one subject that we have the worst problem in. It's such a weird, right?
But we're counting homeless people, so we're doing fine.
Oh,
please stop
damn.
Complaining.
I have to leave that goddamn LAX and see Garcetti in a fucking canoe just sitting.
That's the only way to get around this town.
Welcome to Los Angeles, where nature catches you by surprise. Nature,
LA.
Stepping in hobo shit, that's nature.
This is at the end of one of the moving sidewalks. just
drive
just
me
huge,
nuts.
Huge
picture Garcetti kayaking.
Where the hell would that even
He's
be?
In Oregon. I don't know.
That's not LA County.
Anyway, all right. I'll tell you about this article tomorrow. It's interesting. Mm. Let's see. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Then we'll do a little news. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal apart and they power robbing friction away three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is the edge. It is the best. It's Castrol Edge. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll do some news with Gina Grad right after this. Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast, and you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast.